Hey, welcome back, friends. It's nice to be with you again. We have a little bit different topic today. Remember that our friend Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's with us every time, is a very unusual medical doctor with other qualifications and has saved so many lives that I know of personally through lifestyle adjustment and not through toxic chemicals like the usual medical industry. And we want to talk a little bit about some unusual cancer statistics that are happening in certain age ranges right now and what to do about that, the solution, and bring it back to living in harmony with nature. So welcome, Gabriel, and thanks for going into this today. It's going to be really interesting.
Thanks, Richard. It's good to be here with you. And let's just start with an opening prayer, merging the heavens and the earth. Simba kud kudashabri hu ushinate. Okay, so we usually dance and sing a little bit, and we usually dance and meditate for a minute or two before we get into the topic. So let's do that. But I'll mention the topic also. The overall death rate from cancer generally is going down if you're 55 or older. But generation XZ and millennials, it's increased 80% in the last 30 years. I think we need to look at that, okay? That's a different level of health, prevention, health, and politics. But first, let's dance, get the spiritual joy going. Okay. Okay, let's just take a moment to meditate for a moment, a minute or two. Watch, focus my eyes as we go into meditation. Okay, go into meditation. And here we are. So we kind of look at things, and it's lots of things going on in the world. And sometimes we forget about what we're doing. So we're not going to talk about the external wars, but there's a war going on about our health. And the data is a little more than a little impressive, okay? What the data is saying is Gen Z, Gen, millennials, Gen X, it's pretty much people from the age of 12 to 50, 55, depending on how you define it, are having an 80% increase in rates of cancer over the last 30 years. That's a big deal. Generally, the rate of cancer is going down, but it's increasing in younger people, decreasing, relatively speaking, in people over the age of 50 to 55. Wow. So since 1995, we can figure that's 30 years, cancer rates have been rising at 1 to 2% per year since 1995. As I say, 30 years. So those born in the 70s have a higher rate of cancer than those born in the 60s. And it gets worse with each 10 years. The main cancers seem to be of the gastrointestinal tract, cancer of the colon, esophagus, stomach, pancreas are all increasing. And this is worldwide. I think that's important to understand. It's not just the United States, it's worldwide. Whoa. Colorectal cancer is increased, almost doubled in people less than 55 years old, almost doubled. And it's the leading cause of cancer in people 20 to 49. Think about that, okay? Uterine cancer in women 20 to 39 has doubled since 2011. Rates have doubled. Okay, so what's going on? I mean, really, what's going on? Younger people getting more cancer? This is wow. So nobody exactly knows, but there's a lot of theories, and they all make sense. there's just a greater carcinogenic exposure at younger and younger ages. And there's just a general increase in the risk? And what are the food exposures? Well, we got food additives, chemicals in the environment, obesity, processed meats, really all meats. Why do I say that? Because meat, fish, chicken, and dairy have about 95% of the pesticides and herbicides in the environment because they're higher up on the food chain. It's a strong argument for going vegan, okay? We're also looking at high glycemic rates. There's a lot more sugar in the food. Basically, since 2015, they've noticed that meat eaters have 40% higher risk of cancer. And for diabetes, kind of slightly off the topic, but it's a 35 to 50% increase. Okay? So it's like in meat eaters. So you got a 40% higher increase in cancer and a 35 to 50% increase in diabetes. Not really a good score for meat eaters. Okay? Then what we know is on the average, the vegan women live 4.4 years longer than meat-eating women, and vegan men live 7 years longer than meat-eating men. Now, in addition to everything I've just mentioned, we have endocrine disruptors, we have increase in arsenic, and asbestos, fluoride in the water, which is definitely cancer-producing. They're finally emitting it. You know, and we have increase in, you know, a variety of cancers, including testicular cancer. Now, that is a little bit of scary. Now, we need to look also to understand that after 1995, with the vaccinations, we see that we'll go back to 1945, there are very few problems that people had in terms of mental function and focus. And then after they began doing the vaccinations, we have a higher rate of general chronic disease. 1995, when they really began to do multiple vaccinations, the rate of chronic disease, including cancer, is significantly increased. And it's almost to the point that teenagers today in America, that's the data, actually have much higher rates of dyslexia, reading disabilities, and so forth, of teenagers, and 50% of chronic disease. So it's all a continuum. Okay. So the data is, it takes a lot to get the real good statistics, but the idea is it's not the best idea to wait. We can kind of see younger people are being more heavily exposed to all kinds of toxins, as I've just mentioned a few of them. So, you know, you have more processed foods and chips and sodas and snacking and fast foods. It's not really a winner. So what's the recommendation? Oh, also nanoplastics. There's a lot more plastics in the food and the water. So the solutions, go veganic because you're eating lower in the food chain and you're avoiding 95% of the toxins in the environment, the pesticides, herbicides, and plastics. And the soil is cleaner, okay? And so that's the simple thing. Go organic and eat lower on the food chain, which is vegan, because even organic will have some things, but if you're eating lower on the food chain, it's better, okay? We want to avoid, obviously, environmental toxins the best we can. We want to avoid chronic use of alcohol. And smoking, and we want to have moderate exercise 3 to 5 times a week. We want to run about 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Better go to sleep by, at least by 11 o'clock at night. As I mentioned, go vegan. So, again, I'm not talking about veganism as a philosophy. There's a good philosophy, you know, ahimsa, nonviolence. It doesn't actually mean that. It means do no harm. No physical, emotional, mental harm, period. To the environment, to the animals, okay? It isn't just about cruelty and non-compassion towards animals. It's a bigger, bigger picture. Do no harm is a much bigger statement to ahimsa. Okay, that being said, by going vegan, you're just way lower in the food chain. So those are the solutions to a very serious and problem, cancer being pretty serious. It's affecting people at younger and younger ages. And obesity is another one of those, because the people eating the junk food, they're overeating, they're having too much sugar. Obesity isn't really from eating fats. It's really from eating junk food, carbohydrates is the bigger cause for obesity. So all these factors are happening, and we have simple solutions to go back to the way of eating that is healthy for ourselves and for the environment. Now, the data is, you know, is pretty good, but again, it doesn't prove it. It's really hard to prove it. We do have the data about vaccinations, that kids who have multiple vaccinations have a lot more chronic disease. We're talking 50% of teenagers have some kind of chronic disease. That starts in 1995 when they were doing multiple vaccinations. But we're talking a general environmental exposure. So we can make a difference by shifting our lifestyle and our dietary habits and by exercising and doing, you know, higher levels of good deeds, creating a positive atmosphere. So I'm going to turn it over to Richard for a moment because I've kind of made the statement, okay? Again, 80% increase in the last 30 years for people who are 55 years or less in age, going back to 18-year-olds. Okay, you got it? Gen Z, Gen X, millennials. So, and it's decreasing for people who are older. Richard.
One thing about that, Gabriel, makes no sense. And that is, if these factors of toxicity and environmental harm are one of the big factors, including what's in the food and other things like that, why in the world would that not affect older people too?
Older people who still have cancer, but it's earlier in your age that you're exposed than I'm really talking about, okay? So in the 40s, you weren't exposed to all this. In the 40s, there may have been a little bit of vaccination, a little bit of this, DBT, but not, you know, 20 vaccinations, you know. So, and it's an earlier start. Kids at a very early age are being exposed to all this. So there's an earlier exposure.
Okay.
During growth, developmental.
And that would have started for the people that are about 55 now?
Yeah, that's where they've measured it. Well, they use the word 50 and under, but, you know, that's close enough.
Right.
So we are looking at that. And all I'm saying is the theory, you know, people are theorizing that it's the chronic exposure at an early age that what we're talking about.
Okay. Okay.
You know, kids at an early age, you know, that's what's happening. So it's happening worldwide. It isn't just the U.S.
So the older people are having their own issues, but they're different, right?
Well, I mean, it's again, I'm not saying they don't have cancer. I'm saying the rates of cancer have not changed in older people.
Right.
Whereas the rates of cancer in people 50 and younger, that's what they say, have increased 80%.
It seems
so
like
it's not like older people are not having cancer, but their rates have not increased.
Okay.
There's a general decrease in cancer just for
when you talk about the vaccines, the COVID vaccines, the older people got disproportionately more of them than others. Because this crazy logic was the older people are more at risk, so we should kill them faster with COVID vaccines.
Well, I don't know if they're actually thinking that. I mean, that's kind of what's kind of happened. But, you know, but that is kind of what's happened. But I'm really talking about, you know, people 50 and younger having much accelerated rates compared to that. Now, we do know with the COVID vaccine, you have these turbo cancers. But again, that's at any age. And more younger people are being affected by it. You know, but anyone who's been vaccinated is at risk. But this data comes way before that. We're talking from 1995, okay? So we're talking 25 years earlier when we're measuring the data than the COVID vaccines.
Right, but the other vaccines have their effect as well, right?
Yes, but it really, it's really manifesting in younger people at a higher rate.
Right.
None of it's good. I mean, people who are 50 and older are still getting cancer and still getting sick. But the rates haven't changed. So the effect that we get from cancer, the effect from the vaccine, all that, is, let's say that becomes steady, but older people didn't get nearly as many vaccines as younger people.
Right.
Because they really began pushing the vaccine, multiple vaccinations in the 1990s.
So the result is there's millions of people with cancer now because of what you said.
There's millions of people with what?
With cancer.
Yes. 80% increase in rates of cancer in people 50 and younger. That's
right.
What I'm talking
about. Now, what you were talking about is primarily prevention. Right. Through lifestyle.
Correct.
So why don't we talk for a minute about when it's too late for prevention and you have to do something and you're making a decision about.
Well, it's never too late for prevention. Okay.
Right.
You stop the toxic process and you're taking off the pressure. If you get one COVID vaccination and you stop, you're going to get much less cancer frequency than if you get three. That's what the data suggests.
Right.
So you have the option to stop ASAP and move, you know, taking the carcinogenic pressures off you, get more sleep, go organic, avoid environmental toxins, don't drink fluoridated water, you know, don't take more than a glass of wine or something or two a week, go vegan, you can take the toxic pressure off yourself. And that's the important message at any age.
Right.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was looking specifically for people that already have cancer. And what you're saying is relevant because the cures that I know about, and you know, we're trained to think that things aren't curable anymore because they want permanent addiction to medical drugs and procedures. But the fact is, things can be cured. Somebody I know wrote a book about curing diabetes, but you can cure cancer as well.
Yeah, I wrote that book about diabetes, right?
It was you, right?
Yeah, but the point I'm making is the treatment centers of vegan live foods, from Ann Wigmore to the different centers in San Diego and in Mexico and in Florida, are looking at, depending on the cancer, 40-50% cure rate for cancer.
Right.
With this approach. So you can definitely change it around, reverse it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an interesting story on the internet. I think it's still there. It's been deleted from a number of places, but you can find it. There was a lady named Evita Ramparte, E-V-I-T-A-R-A-M-P-A-R-T-E. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
But she made a YouTube video about her experience. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer that was very advanced, and so they recommended surgery and chemotherapy. And she said, is that going to cure it? And they said, well, no. And is it going to make me worse? And they said, yeah, it's going to cause all these terrible effects, and if you don't do it right away, you're making a big mistake. And she recognized the logic in that had some flaws, and she decided to do something else. And she had a friend who was a chiropractor. And in general, there's a lot of chiropractors who have looked at these things with somewhat open mind. And he said, I've got a ranch and a juicer, and you can go out to the ranch and go on a raw vegan detox diet with a juicer and see what happens. You don't have nothing to lose. And she went and she did that for a number of weeks and went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find any cancer. And she told him what she did, and he got mad and threw her out of the office, which is typical. But that was an example of what you're talking about.
And I'm talking optimistically. I'm saying 40% of people, you know, in general, of all these cancer clinics are using vegan, organic live food, you know, plus a few other little, you know, techniques. High oxygenization. We're looking at around 40% cure rate, which is significantly higher than a 5% or 10% cure rate with with radiation and conventional chemo.
Yeah, and I would say that 5-10% is not honestly given to us, because what they're doing is they're using so-called cure techniques that cause cancer. And they generally
So let's say it's 5%, but you know, people become cancer free
for a while.
Well, it tends to come back. Now, if you don't follow this lifestyle, you also can tend to come back because the overall environment is that way.
Right.
So,
but it's not only that; it's the techniques of the treatment.
Yeah, I get you. The radiation and chemotherapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is, yeah, I totally agree. And what I'm talking about today is not cancer treatment. I kind of stay away from that because there's all kinds of things, so except what I just said. Okay, and I don't really treat cancer. But what I am saying is, let's look at prevention. Because right. That's the most important thing. That's millions of people changing now and altering the process of the carcinogenic degeneration. That's what counts. Build the immune system. That's what protects you from cancer. So to me, the real exciting thing is it's not exciting, but it's to know that Gen X, Gen Z, you know, this 80% increase in cancer is a gigantic message that the world has to change its lifestyle. It's gigantic, okay? And so what we're saying, and this is what your point is important, is, yeah, we can change this process. Just stop leading a carcinogenic lifestyle, and we can make a huge difference. That's the important question that you raised. Even if you have cancer, there are clinics where they really push it, like, and also what this lady did that you mentioned, we're talking thousands of people have had success there.
Right. There's also
you have to be willing to change your lifestyle and your diet.
There's a higher than 40% rate achieved by a man named Rudolph Bruce, who's no longer around anymore. But in the time that he was doing his cancer cure, it was based on raw juices. And he had very specific recipes that he used. And I've talked to a number of his surviving clients who did it themselves. And his rate was very high, way over 40%. And that...
Okay, that's good to hear. But generally, the clinics who are doing this are maybe being conservative, but they're claiming 40, 50%.
Right. I think that's accurate.
There's different clinics, and that's huge. Okay? Maybe yeah. There's some person who's got a special formula he's doing, it's getting better presented. But gee, when you almost have 5% versus 50%, that's 10 times better.
That's right.
Really good.
Anybody who wants to know more about the Bruce Cancer Cure, there's a book about it that's easy to read for self-application, and it gives you another option. It's called the Bruce Cancer Cure, which is B-R-E-U-S-S, and there's one that goes with it called the Bruce Cancer Cure Correctly Applied by a man who cured his prostate cancer with it. Really interesting reading.
So the idea is, let's not get cancer. Let's start the easy way. Change your lifestyle. We'll go to that direction. And if you do, there are options that give you pretty good percentages. That's the good news. So we know how to prevent it to a significant extent. And we also know, you know, a pretty high percentage for treating it.
And it applies to a lot more than cancer, too, if you do it.
Yeah, of course. That's why in 3 weeks we heal 61% of type 2 diabetics and 20% of type 1. You've heard what I just said, 20% of type 1, which is incurable.
Yeah, there's a famous story about a man who came to one of your Arizona retreats to cure diabetes, and he had type 1, and somehow he got in, even though you don't normally take people with type 1. And he got
by accident, okay?
Say that again.
He got in by accident.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he got totally cured, and he was amazed. And he was so impressed that he became a naturopathic doctor to help other people with that.
Right.
And you can see that video. It's really worth watching. What's it called? Simply Raw?
Simply Raw. Right.
I really recommend watching that video.
So what we're seeing in general is that you can turn these things around by returning to a natural way of living.
Right.
I'm just highlighting the cancer issue that Gen Z, Gen X, and the millennials need to pay attention, because you're getting an earlier start of a toxic lifestyle. You know, whereas the people over 50 did not have that early exposure.
Right. There's another related, inspiring video that you can watch called Super Juice Me, instead of Super Size Me that they did with the fast food restaurants. Super Juice Me, it's by Jason Vail, and it's the same thing. It's 30 days on just juice. And what happened to the people, I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I've seen it. So it's good. So we're introducing this idea because our environment's pretty toxic. It isn't just food. It's a whole lifestyle that we have to look at, you know. Remove all fluoridated products, you know, fluoridated toothpaste, you know, everything. And it makes a difference. You know, water that's in plastic bottles. Glass bottles. So it's a total lifestyle approach that minimizes cancer. You know, people have destinies and things happen, but we're talking, you know, percentage-wise. That's what's important.
Right. In the U.S., there's a great water company that sells bottled water in green glass. It's available almost all over the country. It's called Mountain Valley. And right. Definitely worth using.
So we've outlined a very hopeful thing, and we've also put a red flag up about lifestyles. So it's pretty good.
Now, this is also related to what we're not talking about, the environment of war and conflict and hatred and division and all these wars going on around the world, and usually both sides are justifying it by saying the other side can't be reasoned with. That all changes when you change yourself.
Right. Now, Nefer Morningstar wanted to know if it's okay to put the link about that lady's story in the chat. Is that okay? About that lady's story?
It's a question for Doug, right?
No, it was a question for you.
Oh, say again.
Is that lady about the lady's story?
Oh, I don't have the link right now, but if you look up her name on YouTube, it's Evita, Evita Ramparte, Ramparte. I'm sorry, I just thought of that while we were talking, otherwise I would have prepared.
Right. Okay, good. So, you know, in a sense, this is a, you know, we could talk about this for months, but we've kind of made the point. Eat lower on the food chain. Go organic in general. Get sufficient sleep, at least 7 hours sleep. Don't do too much alcohol, meaning a glass or two of wine a week. Some people feel it creates longevity because of the resveratrol in it. Don't smoke. Go vegan.
You can get the resveratrol without the alcohol. Just drink the grape juice instead.
Yeah,
it's better than wine, because the alcohol has no purpose whatsoever in the human body.
Yeah, we also have it in tablets.
Exactly.
Because grape juice is pretty sweet.
Contrary to popular belief, it's not necessary to drink ethanol.
Right. But I'm also saying you can just get by the resveratrol because grape juice is pretty sweet.
Yeah, good point. I'm just saying what you're doing is eating fermented grape juice when you drink alcohol. With the red wine.
You know, there are some studies that, you know, 1 to 3 glasses of wine per week actually is a health protection and longevity. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm also a little careful as I look at this whole thing. I'm going to watch my statements a little bit because, hey, if we have longevity studies that show a few glasses a week is positive for your health, I don't want to discourage people.
I've seen that, but I think there are other variables involved.
Yeah, of course. But the problem with all these studies is there are variables, but there are also trends. What I'm talking about, here's a trend, okay? 30 years since 1995, that trend is an 80% increase in all, basically all kinds of cancer, but particularly gastrointestinal tract and uterine cancer, breast cancer, in people under 50 who, you know, keep this toxic lifestyle. That's a trend. Can they prove it? Harder, because these are long-term studies. We're just learning about these things as we're acting retrospectively. But it's better to act preventatively here than wait another 25 years when a perfect study is done. That's really kind of the advice, because you can say, well, it's not totally proven. Well, it isn't totally proven, but it's highly probable that this data is significant.
Do you want to wrap up things by relating this to the world peace meditation approach to the world situation? How do they tie together?
Thank you. So we have two things that are going on. So what we know is the data suggests that people who have been meditating for regularly, at least 20 minutes to a half hour a day, regularly have a physiology that's 15 years younger. That's pretty proven. That's not speculation. Now, we have a world peace meditation that we do every Sunday. There we go, it's up there, around 6:30 Israel time, 11:30 Eastern time. And what that's about is to create world peace by creating a frequency of world peace. Okay? And everybody's invited to participate in that. Now, the research shows that you do it once, and it lasts for 3 weeks. So we're doing it on a weekly basis. Now, understand that meditation improves your whole physiology. Literally, your physiology becomes 15 years younger if you're meditating on a regular basis. So even though we're doing it once a week, I recommend people do it every day. Okay? And I'm not going to explain the whole thing about how to meditate right now, but we do explain it. And the World Peace Meditation, 11:30 East Coast time, 11:30 a.m. East Coast time, and that's one piece. We're creating a world thought form for peace. Now, just yesterday, we also had, and the day before, two days ago, Peace 21. So on each equinox and solstice, we've been doing this since 1985, four times a year. We see that also, when people meditate for peace, it decreases the amount of violence. Literally, there's been over 300 studies that have shown that in areas where people are meditating for peace, the amount of theft and violence and all those things decreases. In cities where they just have 1% of the people meditating, they did a comparative, 11 cities where nobody was and 11 cities were 1%, there's a drop of 16% in violence. Rhode Island, they brought meditators in and who were meditating regularly, and the crime rate, violent crime rate and crime rate in general went down 43%. People say, well, that's a fluke. And so they came back the next year and the crime rate dropped 49%. So we know it works. It makes you healthier. You live longer. And you improve the consciousness on the planet. That's called a win-win-win situation. So, Richard, thank you for letting me, you know, t- talk about that. So we have really lifestyles that work. And as I say, meditation, the research is very clear that your biological age decreases by 15 years if you've been meditating for 5 years at, you know, 20 to 30 minutes once a day. All that's very good news. So we're not even talking about changing diet. We're just talking about that. So thanks, Richard, for bringing that up.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I want to bless everyone that we take this seriously. We can change the outcome of our life. We can change the quality of our lives, the quality of health and vitality of our lives by doing these simple things, eating lower on the food chain, avoiding a toxic environment in all the different ways, meditating. Great. We can do it. So I want to bless everybody that you become inspired to do it. Aho, amen, shalom, 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 om atakulasin. And over to Richard.
Thank you, Gabriel. Yeah, everything is connected, literally. Everybody is connected. We're all networked. All life forms are connected because of the same spirit in everybody. And it's all one issue. So I think it's important to encourage everyone to not underestimate how important it is what you put out. The dark side is using the same technique because they know it's true. And they're focused on fear and division and conflict. And they're doing that because they know that the meditation, even on the negative side, is very powerful. So light is stronger. And the only way they can keep us from actually achieving the world peace that Gabriel's talking about is if we undercut ourselves and don't do what we're capable of. So I want to encourage everybody to not underestimate your own importance and watch what you're broadcasting because it's real. There's a series of videos that we did that are some of the only ones that are not censored by YouTube, and it's called The Five Clues, and it's proof, examples that what you're focused on, what you're broadcasting in your feelings and your thoughts have a vast effect on the physical world. So take a look at it and practice it, world peace meditation, not just once a week, but all the time. And you're very much appreciated. We are grateful that you showed up today. Thank you very much. And stay in touch and have a great week. Keep the meditation conscious. Be aware of what you're carrying around. And take care. You're important. We'll see you next time.